The following is a continuation of the class on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 29, Text 16, given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on August 19, 2000 in Mumbai.
We want to find the nectar of devotion. Yes, we want Hari Katha. And we want Hari Kirtan. But we want it in such a way that we remain faithful, humble, and sincere. So therefore, although Prabhupada personally honored many of his god brothers with great respect, you respect them, but you don't go. Because it's not good for your spiritual life. At other times, he sent devotees to his god brothers for philosophical clarifications and for some enrichment. So we find through this example that even great bona fide Vaishnavas, sometimes their association isn't very good for us. By Prabhupada's own example. But if you disrespect them, you will fall down. And of course, there are also those who appear to be very great, great, famous Vaishnavas, but they have a very different idea of what's required to go back to Godhead than our disciplic line. And there are so many various sectarian factors. If you don't accept this particular type of initiation, you cannot go back to the spiritual world. In Vrindavan, the idea of Siddha Pranali. Siddha Pranali is an ancient bona fide type of initiation. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his associates saw and realized that it's not the only type, and it is being so much abused and misused in the hands of the wrong people and given to the wrong people. We read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sending people back to Goloka Vrindavan simply through Harinam and Vaishnav Seva. Simple, safe way. So this is what they stressed. And it's perfect. But others will tell you, without Siddha Pranali, unless the Guru tells you what is your name in the spiritual world, what is your particular form, what is your service, what kind of dress you wear, what kind of ornaments you wear, what paraphernalia you worship Krishna with, what time you worship Krishna, how you worship Krishna, and you meditate on those things deep in your heart, then at the time of death, how will you remember those things and go back to that place? This is the propaganda. And we'll think, maybe they're right. Maybe there's something my guru is not giving me. Prabhupada said, I'm giving you everything. Are we doubting his word? Is there something he's not giving us? That's Guru Aparad. So therefore, we must offer respects to those people. When they asked Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur about Siddha Pranali, he gave them the most perfect instruction. He said, our Siddha Pranali mantra is Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Meditate on that. Put that in your contemplation in your life, and you will definitely go back to Goloka Vrindavan
if it is Krishna's desire.
And without that, whatever high topics we're discussing or learning, whatever meditations we may have, without humility like a blade of grass, tolerance like a tree, if we're not ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return, unless we're chanting the holy name constantly in that sweet mood, then we cannot actually digest any Krishna conscious subject matter within the core of our hearts. You can eat the most nutritious foods, but if you can't digest it, you get no benefit. You see, it's not a question of whether certain topics are bona fide or not. Anything from the scriptures written by Rupa Goswami or Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami are bona fide. They're perfect and complete. But the acharyas are giving us, you know, to what degrees we take so that we can digest it, and what lifestyle we live so that we can digest this subject matter. Because unless the message of Krishna touches the core of our heart and transforms the sincerity of our purpose, then it has minimal value. So we should respect Vaishnavas, but those who are blasphemous, those who are critical, those who challenge our own faith, those who are fallen, who are materially attached to sense gratification, opulences, and sex life, those devotees must be respected from a distance. This is the conclusions of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. We should respect all Vaishnavas. Sometimes Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and others, they would speak strongly against people. But actually in their hearts they were not envious, they were not proud. They were just trying to serve their little children. Even Srila Prabhupada, in regard to his godbrothers, sometimes to protect us he would say certain things, but he would also say, I can say these things, but you cannot. Because if you say it, it's Vaishnava Aparad, you will fall down. I'm saying it with love and respect for them, but also love and respect for your condition to protect you. And when Prabhupada was in his last days in Vrindavan, many of those godbrothers came to visit him. And he said, please forgive me. I have spoken against you. Sometimes in the battlefield when we're preaching, trying to protect our devotees, we have to say certain things. Please forgive the offenses I may have made. And his godbrothers understood his motives. Said, no, Swamiji, you never made any offenses. It's actually true. He never did. Because his purpose was free of envy, free of pride. It was only out of compassion and love for his devotees, his disciples. The godbrother that Srila Prabhupada criticized the most during Prabhupada's life, he left his body. The news came. The devotees around, because they were not very mature devotees, when the news came that this particular sannyasi left his body, they heard Prabhupada say so many things against him. Because he was criticizing ISKCON. This sannyasi was criticizing ISKCON. He was criticizing the activities of ISKCON. He was even trying to stop Prabhupada from getting his land and his project going in Mayapur. And devotees were going there and hearing these things. So Prabhupada had to say, no, he's like this and he's like this. You cannot go there. Hare Krishna. So they heard this for years. They said, Prabhupada, he left his body. Where did he go? They were expecting to hear all kinds of descriptions from the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about different hellish sufferings. They were excited. Devotees like these types of topics. Prabhupada, where did he go? Where did he go? Prabhupada, very grave, with all soberness, he said, he went back to Godhead, to Goloka Vrindavan. Devotees, what? How's that possible? He did this, he did that. You said he did this and that. He said, yes. But he did great service for my Guru Maharaj. Therefore, he has gone back to Godhead. This is Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva in practical action. On one level, great Vaishnav. On another level, what his motives were, what he was doing. Why should we even speculate? But Prabhupada understood that that association will ruin our spiritual lives. But yet, we have to respect him as a Paramhamsa who has gone back to Godhead. It may be a little bit difficult to understand, but Prabhupada makes it very clear here in this purport. And if you disrespect that person, quoting what Prabhupada said 30 years ago, what will happen to you? He's a participant in Krishna's lila in Goloka Vrindavan. So we should respect all Vaishnavas. And even those devotees who criticize the Vaishnavas who are attacking and criticizing our movement, it's best not to hear that either. There may be good devotees with fundamental differences, perhaps, that minimize Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's vision and the way he wanted our mission to go on. That's their business. That may be their right, but it's not our right. It was Prabhupada's sacrifice that saved us. It was his vision that has nourished us. Therefore, our faithfulness and our chastity to him as the servant of his servants is our life and soul. If someone doesn't agree with that or doesn't appreciate that same vision, we offer all respects to that person. But we don't listen. We keep some distance in our respect. And we could love them and respect them and not even judge them. We just know it's just not for me. It's not that such people are even wrong, because they don't have the same obligations of faith that we do. So some maturity and broad-mindedness is required. But that maturity and broad-mindedness should not make us reckless. Broad-minded means to be able to accommodate so many different people with so many different perceptions of bhakti, and they're all Vaishnavas. and to respect them accordingly. And maturity means not to do it recklessly. Not anything anyone is speaking about anyone, I'm eager to hear. That type of broad-mindedness has to be balanced with maturity. Of what actually is beneficial for me. What is approved, sanctioned, and blessed by the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastras that we have taken shelter of. So love and respect should go to all Vaishnavas. Love and respect should go to every living entity. But maturity is very important. To understand how to offer that love and respect. To the tiger, from a distance. To a loving God brother, embrace. To a senior Vaishnava, you put your head on his feet. Senior Vaishnava may embrace you, but the etiquette is you should be not going up and embracing sannyasis. If they embrace you, you can embrace back, because what else can you do? But the etiquette is you should bow down. So there's a way of respecting, there's a way of showing love. It's called Vaishnava etiquette. And if we understand the principles of Vaishnava etiquette very carefully, we'll never be confused. There'll never be an impediment of Maya on our path that will disturb our progress. And last of all, Sridhar Swami, in his commentary, he explains that the word sattvena, which means the mode of goodness, in practical application means we must be patient. This is one of the most essential items of devotional service. Patience. Rupa Goswami says we must be enthusiastic with patience and confidence. Patience is a symptom of surrender. Without patience, our surrender is hollow and incomplete. We must execute Krishna conscious principles with great, great enthusiasm. But we're not fruitive workers. We're not doing business with Krishna. When Lord Narasimha Dev offered Prahlad Maharaj benedictions, and he could have chosen the benediction even to go back to Godhead, anything. He said, "My Lord, I'm not here to do business with you. I'm not a fruitive worker that I have performed my service and remain faithful with the expectation that you'll give me something. I have done it for your satisfaction." The one thing a devotee wants is a pure heart. Narayana parasarave nakutashtina bibhyate swaraka pavarga narakeshu apitulyata darshana. For the devotees of Lord Narayan, whether they're in heaven or hell or in mukti, makes no difference. Their only concern is to serve. So we want a pure heart, because the purer our heart, the more pleasing our service will be. Whether Krishna wants to send us to hell or to heaven, or Mukti, or Goloka, or Vaikuntha, wherever he wants me to please him, I want to be there. But just give me a pure heart so I have that motive. I have that sincerity of purpose. But after years of hearing and chanting, after years of working so hard, sometimes even giving up so much of what is precious to the ordinary beings, our health, our youth, still, the ego is there. The lust, the anger, the envy, the pride, the illusions are there. Why? I've tried once, I've tried twice. How many times have I dressed Radha Gopinath? How many times have I completed my 16 rounds? How many times have I bowed down and said Bancha Kalpa Turubhyas Cha to the Vaishnavas? How many books have I distributed? How many risks have I taken? How many people have I brought to Krishna consciousness? How many times have I become sick, invalid, and gone on with my service? And still, my heart is not pure. Patience means that Krishna, I'm going to always be examining and re-examining the quality of my service and the intentions of my service. Because if I'm not pure, perhaps I'm not doing it right. Perhaps there's some flaw. Perhaps I'm making offenses. So we can't just be patient. Because if you're making aparads, if you're negligent of certain Vaishnav principles, then you could be patient for millions of births. So we always have to be scrutinizingly examining and re-examining what is the quality of my sadhana, my bhajan, my seva, my relationships with Vaishnavas. And what is the inner content of my heart when I'm performing it? Am I doing it for pratishtha? For recognition? Or am I doing it to please Krishna, to please Guru, to please Vaishnavas? And while carefully practicing in this way, if it takes our whole life, if it takes hundreds or millions of births, it doesn't matter. Because I know that when it's pleasing to Krishna, he will deliver me. I am his servant. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagatisha kamaye mama janamani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahoita kitvai. I do not want money. I do not want women. I do not want followers, disciples. I don't even want liberation. I only want to serve you birth after birth after birth. Unconditionally. Unconditional service means patience. Whenever Krishna so desires, he will deliver me. It is his promise. Manmanabhavamadbhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mame vaishashi shatyante pratijani priyoshi. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. And Srila Prabhupada explains the essence of patience. Patience is necessary for developing the confidence that Krishna will certainly accept me because I am engaging in devotional service. One has only to execute service according to the rules and regulations to ensure success. We worship the deity as Krishna himself. We honor every living entity as part of Krishna. We worship and respect every Vaishnava with maturity. And we carry on in this way, chanting the holy names, hearing the glories of the Lord, serving his devotees with patience and faith, never to give up. If ever we give up, that means we are not worthy of bhakti. If our intention is clear that I'll go on for as long as you want, Krishna, and when you want to purify my heart, that's your business. I will never give up. It is that consciousness that is the price of Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? Yes.
You explained very nicely about being matured and accommodating. But we see that in our own practical life. If we see someone doing very nicely, some other Vaishnavas speaking nicely or doing some devotional service nicely, he may not be from our sampradaya, he may not be teaching what we are trained by our spiritual master, then we tend to get influenced by them and then start analyzing our relationship with our spiritual master and start disrespecting him. And in other hand, that if we start going away from them, then usually what happens is that we start to criticize them and we preach about them to other devotees. So two extremes. Either we get completely influenced by them and start judging our own line, or else criticize them and become an offender. How to balance it practically?
We should receive instructions of how to deal in these particular circumstances. The tendency of neophyte devotees is often to go to extremes. And this is a great impediment, not only in our own spiritual lives, but to our society at large. If you try to imitate Haridas Thakur, you'll fall down. If you try to live the life of Rupa and Raghunath, you'll fall down. It's an extreme that you cannot accommodate. At the same time, because I cannot live like Srila Raghunath Das Goswami did on the banks of Radhakund, therefore let me eat anything and do anything and go anywhere, you'll fall down. Chant 16 rounds. Follow the four regulative principles. Receive the blessings of your guru and the Vaishnavas and perform your service according to how you're obligated. That's balanced. If somebody's saying something that's different, we blaspheme him and call them rascals, demons, sahajyas, smartha brahmins, mayavadis. That's an extreme. Of course, sometimes Srila Prabhupada did it, but he wasn't extreme. He was telling it like it is for our benefit. And if we see someone is actual Mayavad, then we may have to speak it. But when we're dealing with Vaishnavas, we have to be very balanced. It's like this. Defects on a Vaishnava is like spots on a full moon. If you're advanced devotee, mature devotee, you can just appreciate the beauty of the moon. But you see there's some spots there also. But if you're a neophyte devotee, those spots could kill you. Those spots in the moon could be the cause of your spiritual downfall. Because you cannot accommodate. So on one hand, if you blaspheme the moon for having spots, you'll fall down. On the other hand, if you associate with that moon, those spots will make you fall down. Hare Krishna. So the best thing is just from a distance. Purna Chandra Namaskar. I offer my obeisances to the full moon. Bancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo. We should not go to extremes. Extremism is very dangerous. Krishna tells us in Gita, should not eat too much, eat too little. Sleep too much, sleep too little. You have to regulate. Prahlad Maharaj was a child. He never played. Even Narada Muni, his guru, never played in his previous life. Only interesting in serving Vaishnavas and meditating on Krishna, serving the deity. But if you try to raise your children like that, not allow them to play, just give them deities or lock them in the room and say, you just worship these deities. And it's abuse, it's child abuse. You may find yourself in a lawsuit on the Times of India. So we have to be balanced. They want to play, let them play, but give them Krishna. Moderate. So in our own lives, we have to be very moderate, mature, respectful. If someone is a little different than me, I attack them. The other is someone is a little different, I want that instead. It's different, it's new. I've been chewing the old bamboo of this Krishna conscious ISKCON philosophy for so many years. I need some juice. Some new bamboo with juice in it. Hare Krishna. Actually, the juice is there. But sometimes we take it for granted. But then you go there, and after you learn everything they're saying, then you want some new juice from somewhere else and from somewhere else. It's unlimited, the nectar within our Guru Varga. Unlimited. And it's not that we cannot take nectar from places outside of ISKCON, but we have to do it with maturity and with blessings. That is important. So one extreme is that everyone who's saying something different is a demon, and the other extreme is everyone who's saying something different, that's what I want. And the balanced Vaishnav way is to offer all respects, affection to everyone, to not speak against unless there's an emergency that I have to protect some others. Then we may have to do it, but we shouldn't like it. We should hate to do it, but we have to. So we keep a particular respectful distance with love and affection. That is the safe path back home, back to Godhead. Is there any other questions? Yes?
You told that deity is Krishna himself. Krishna is not in the deity, Krishna is deity. But deity is made of material elements. So it may break also like...
Deity is made of material elements. That may be. If you do not handle the deity very carefully, the deity may break.
So one may think if it's Krishna, Krishna's arm never breaks. I never read this in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have to honor the needs of Krishna in that particular form to be handled very, very carefully. But in the spiritual sense, even that which is material becomes spiritualized by the presence of Krishna. So the body may be made out of marble, but Krishna assumes that form wholesale. Therefore, that body is Krishna Satchit Ananda form. Although in a medium of marble to us, it's non-different than Krishna. It is Krishna. He is Krishna. And how is it that we find in the great acharyas what type of wonderful pastimes they're having with the deities? Many of us went to a yatra to Karoli, where the beautiful, merciful form of Sri Radha Madan Mohan is present. When Srila Sanatana Goswami was living in Mahavan, he saw the deity of Madan Gopal literally playing with his friends, with the local children of the Brijabasi neighborhood on the banks of the Jamuna all day long. He was so attracted. Who is this beautiful boy? He followed him back to wherever he was going. The boy went in the temple. Sanatana Goswami followed him. And when he entered the temple, he saw there was only the deity of Sri Madan Gopal. The Lord was having pastimes for him. It was the deity doing that. The same deity that you're looking at, but how he was seeing him. Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he was worshipping the deity of Sri Radharamanji. At one time, he had several Shalagram Shilas from the Kali Gandaki River in Nepal, Himalayas. He was longing to worship Krishna in his threefold bending form. Because other Goswamis, they had so many opportunities to serve with crowns and with clothes. So it is said on Narasingha Chaturdasi that Gopal Bhatta Goswami prayed that just as Narasingadev, on this day you manifested your beautiful form out of a stone pillar, please appear in your threefold bending form. Not for his enjoyment, but so that he could better serve. So from the Damodar Shila, Radharamanji manifested. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they all came to see this beautiful, beautiful deity. They had a wonderful Abhishekam and a festival to inaugurate the worship of Sri Radharaman. But after some time, Gopal Bhatta Goswami was feeling a certain unhappiness in his heart, because his father, Venkata Bhat from Srirangam, gave him the order before he left this world that you should always worship our most beloved Lord of our heart, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was thinking, my Ishtadev is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but I'm worshipping the form of Radharaman. Is there some shortcoming? He was thinking like that while sitting before Radhara Manji. And the Lord knows the heart of his devotee. When you're worshiping the deity, it's not just what you're giving, it's how you're giving it. Krishna knows your heart. He's seeing from inside out. You're seeing him from outside in, but he's seeing you from inside out. Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. When Srimati Radharani and Sri Gopinath Dev, when you see them casting their merciful, loving, beautiful glance upon you, you should know that when they see you, they not only see what you're doing, how you're doing it, but they see right through your senses, your mind, your intellect, your ego, your very soul, and everything connected. They're seeing the sincerity of the purpose in which we are offering what we're offering, and they will reciprocate according to that. It's very fashionable to worship the deity as an act of prestige, because especially in India, to be a Brahmin, pujari, doing the seva to Bhagwan is very prestigious in certain circles. Sometimes when we take the Vijayamurti on procession and we're holding him, are we thinking, let everyone see the deity? Or are we thinking, let everyone see me holding the deity? Your spiritual advancement is not based on your holding the deity. It's what is your mood? What is your purpose? Sargopal Bhatta Goswami was thinking like this, and Sri Radhara Manji, seeing the sorrow in his devotee's heart, his Ishtadeva Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's worshipping me, let me give him pleasure. Right in front of Gopal Bhatta Goswami's eyes, Radharaman be transformed into the beautiful golden swarup of Sri Gauranga. Then he understood, yes, there is no difference. Radharamanji is Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He has appeared to me in this form. Therefore, wholeheartedly, without reservation, I will give him my life and my soul. Shri Gopal Bhater Prandanahe. Je Radharamana, Shri Radharamana Radhe. When we sing these songs, we should understand what it means. It's the life and soul of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Lokanath Das Goswami, he was longing to worship a deity at Kishori Kund. He was feeling immense separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He just wanted to be with him, but the Lord ordered him stay in Vrindavan. So he did the parikrama of the 12th forest. At Kishori Kund, he was just living in seclusion, longing to serve the Lord personally. When the Lord personally manifested a form of an effulgent person who appeared before Lokanath Das Goswami with the murti of Sri Krishna, then the person left. Lokanath Goswami was wondering, what is this deity and who was that mysterious person that came and gave him to me? He was quite perplexed. Then the deity, right in front of his eyes, he spoke to him. He said, my name is Radha Vinod, and I personally took the form of that person to give myself to you.
Now, Lokanath Goswami, stop all your mental anxieties. I'm hungry. Cook something for me. The deity spoke to him. Hare Krishna. Jiva Goswami, when he was worshipping Radha Damodar, sometimes he would hear the flute. He would hear the most sweet ambrosial sound of Venu. So Jiva Goswami went to the deity, and there he saw Sri Radha Damodar playing his flute and dancing and performing his Vrindavan pastimes right before his devotee's eyes. Is the deity made out of stone? In one sense, yes. However, Krishna is absolute. What you see as stone, he makes that into his original transcendental form. If you massage the feet of the deity, you are directly and personally massaging the feet of Bhagavan. When you're putting the flute in his hand, you are personally equipping Thakurji with his flute to attract Sri Radharani and to attract the hearts of all the conditioned souls. So this is spiritual subject matter, Krishna Tattva. How Krishna, who is the controller of all the elements of material creation, can enter into those elements to make himself fully visible to his devotee. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna. One more question.
Maharaj, as you were explaining about the confusion which can take place among disciples because of association, wrong association. So, like as we know, a spiritual master encourages his disciples in different ways according to the propensities. And we also know that there can be many best in the spiritual realm. So, in such a situation, if we want to take association of some devotees, like their priorities are different. And at the same time, you told that so that we can keep a safe distance, so that we will not be influenced by the priorities and other, so that we will not be diverted in our aim. So how to take association of devotees also, of our God brothers and other people, and at the same time we should be in our main stream, like which we are doing.
Within Srila Prabhupada's society, everyone is meant to share Prabhupada's message. Therefore, however many initiating or instructing spiritual masters there may be, however many disciples may be following them, the aim is very much one. And maturity is to see that we're all brothers and sisters. And we should not be sectarian. Because we may see that somebody else's faith is more in someone else. You may have more faith in someone. They may have more faith in someone. Your faith should not disturb them, and their faith should not disturb you. Should understand that Krishna is attracting different people's hearts in different ways. We should not expect everyone to be like me. And when we're dealing with other Gaudiya Vaishnavas also, even outside of ISKCON, we should understand if somebody has faith in their guru, we should respect and honor and encourage that. We shouldn't think it a challenge because they have a different faith than me. If they're challenging your faith, if they're attacking your faith, then you have to keep a distance. But if we're understanding etiquette properly, we should not be confused by other people having different type of faith than ourselves. They're our brothers, they're our sisters. That's very, very important. We should not be so egoistic and self-centered to think that everyone has to have my faith. And if somebody doesn't have my faith, that means they are a dangerous enemy to me. The tendency of neophyte devotees is because we want to be God, we want to be great, therefore whatever we're connected to, we want to feel that we're the greatest. My guru is the greatest. My line is the greatest. There's always competition. But this is a material conception. To you, might be the greatest. But to someone else might be the greatest. Krishna's the greatest, and he may be revealing to different people in different ways, at different times. So we should honor and respect Krishna, how he's manifesting himself to different people in different ways. You see, when we're thinking about Srila Prabhupada, it's not that we have to be convinced that he is the ultimate greatest and no one is equal to or better than him. Otherwise, how will we have faith and follow him? What we do know is he saved us. And therefore, our loyalty, our faith, and our devotion to him is for eternity, without second thought. If someone else is as spiritual advanced as him, or if someone else is more philosophical than him, that doesn't make any difference, whether they are or not. It makes no difference. He's bringing me back to Godhead, and I will remain faithful to him. But some people think that they have to prove that he's the greatest, he's superior, and push down everybody else. But somebody from another mat is going to think that their guru is the greatest. And we're saying, well, he didn't spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. It's not our right to start talking to them like that. They may have the reasons that they have for having faith. Ultimately, they have faith because that person saved them. And we have faith because Prabhupada saved us. Either directly or through his personal energies. Therefore, there's no competition. There's no conception of this. If somebody else is praising their guru, well, very, very nice, wonderful. If somebody's saying how their guru has done this for Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and that, we just, very wonderful. It's not a challenge to our faith in Prabhupada. It's not a competition. We don't have to belittle them and prove that we're better. In our heart, Prabhupada is best, and he will always be best. In their heart, something else. I offer respect to the faith that Prabhupada has given me, and I'll offer all respect to the faith that their gurus have given them. Then there can be unity. But as long as there's this canvassing mentality, my guru is better than yours. My guru Mahabhagavat, your guru is not a Mahabhagavat. As long as that mentality is there, it's just a lack of etiquette and immaturity. We should respect the faith of other Vaishnavas. And they should respect our faith as well. And we don't have to prove anything to anyone. If our faith is so weak that we have to prove that my guru is better than all other gurus, then that means we haven't understand Guru Tattva at all. Guru is Krishna. He's manifesting himself in many ways through many people. And our faith is in that principle. Through Guru, Krishna comes down to this material world to embrace the conditioned souls and bring him back to Godhead. But we should respect and honor that principle. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.